You are listening to the Andy Zenka Youth Empowerment Program on KDNK Carbondale Community Access Radio. Welcome to my show, The Ripple Effect, where one conversation can change everything. I'm your host, Caden Smith, and once a month I sit down with impactful people who are creating waves in their communities, industries, and lives. At the end of the day, impact isn't always about scale, but authenticity. These stories are here to move you to start a ripple of your own. Let's get started. Recently, I got the opportunity to sit down with the local culinary team and their instructor from Youth Entity to talk about their experience at the National Pro Start event, the vigorous preparation for it, and the sensation of being a small-town team on a big stage. Now we will hear from Nat Mayer, the instructor of the team who spoke about the details of ProStart, life skills the students gain, and his perspective on growth from the program.
My name's Matt Mayer. I'm a personal chef in the Valley and a chef instructor with Youth Entity.
Well, how did you initially get involved with the culinary team at Youth Entity?
I started with Youth Entity in 2013. I saw a listing on Indeed. I was working with the Rifle CMC developing their culinary program and saw that the director was offering a position literally across the street from my house. So went over and interviewed and we hit it off and kind of helped develop Youth Entity's culinary program as it pertains to the ProStart program.
That's awesome. Have you noticed it grow a lot throughout the years?
Oh, yeah, the early years, you know, you're learning a lot of lessons and kind of figuring out what works and what doesn't work. At the time, I didn't have a ton of experience in a classroom setting or with students, but, you know, decades in a kitchen. So it was learning to translate one skill set into another. And then once we started competing, I think interest and just people being aware of the program really grew. And, you know, it's umpteen years later, and I feel like we are kind of a known entity, which is cool.
That's really awesome. So I know you guys recently placed at a ProStart event. Could you share your experience from that?
Yeah. So this was, I like to say they're my wins, but they're the team's wins. I just helped get them there. So this was our fifth Colorado State title, and this particular team went on to take fifth in the nation, which is our first time hitting the national podium, which is a pretty amazing achievement for any program, especially when you think about how we operate our program and the fact that Carbondale is a really small rural community. So yeah, pretty awesome.
Yeah, definitely. Well, was there a behind the scenes moment from the competition that stood out to you?
I think, you know, for me, what set them apart from so many other teams, it wasn't a specific event. It was their willingness to grind that we did. Man, I don't even know how 400 plus hours of practice. We were doing 3-4 days a week for anywhere from 4 to 6 hours per practice. And they just kept putting their heads down and dialing in and doing the work. And that's really their ability to stay motivated and engaged through all those practices was just inspiring.
That's awesome. Well, how do you prepare small town students to compete on a national stage? And what is that like?
We've been lucky over the years. Our program is small, but we've always had pretty high engagement from students. There is always a percentage of them that are looking at culinary as a career track. And these guys, I think the interest was there. We hadn't competed really in several years. COVID had sort of made competition nearly impossible. And now that we were back in person, there was interest in the students' part to kind of explore. The beauty of the competition is that the dishes are supposed to be student driven. They're supposed to come up with the menu themselves with, you know, the chef instructors kind of steer them and guide them in some choices, but ultimately it was their menu and their dishes. And I think that also really hook them on the process. It was, what do you want to see on the plate? What textures, what colors, like what kind of vibe, what kind of through line do you want to have in this menu? And for a team of three, they were just so cohesive. They really approached it from a very chef driven, chef focused way, in a way that a lot of students over the years just haven't really engaged in that level.
So they really took it to the next level. And do you think that's why they placed how they did and why they got so far?
Yeah, I think it's a big part of it, that the fact that they wanted to tell a story with their plates. And a lot of teams kind of look at, ooh, here's a neat appetizer, here's a neat entree. We looked at it as sort of historic Spanish cultural influence as it relates to Colorado. And, I think that's beneficial. And at the end of the day, the judges, they're all chefs. So that's the kind of stuff that they're looking for. So the fact that they really, really looked at who would be evaluating and what they'd be looking for and really tried to hit a lot of those notes in their dishes. Yeah, that's high level competing.
Well, what do you think was the biggest challenge you and the team faced leading up to the event?
Every year, we always try to throw so much technique on the plate, and it's this balancing act of, can we get it done in the time allowed? Because the clock is really short on all of this. They have an hour start to finish. And they're, man, like three practices to go till state, and we still weren't getting it up on time. It looked good, but it wasn't on time. And those are really big penalties to take. I had to go to work for about a week there before state. And I just asked the team, I said, I don't know what you have to do, but if you can just reach in your pocket and find like 2 minutes, and when I come back, you know, that would be amazing. And I came back, and the next practice, they were standing around for about 2 minutes because they had everything done. It looked perfect. Their stations were clean. Like, it was amazing, awe-inspiring, really.
Yeah, that's really cool to see how motivated they were. So if you could change anything about how the team prepared for the competition, what do you think it would be?
That's a great question. You know, my quick answer is I would go back in time, and my seniors would be juniors, and I would get to have another year with this team, and we could really destroy at the national level. It's the path you choose that gets you there. We had some bumps and bruises along the way, but I really don't think I would change anything about the journey. I think they got there organically. I think they discovered their way through the process with a little bit of guidance on my end. I think it was really beautiful. And, you know, would I liked it to have been a little easier and a little faster? Yeah, but this was them, and this is how they did it. And they got there in a way that, I mean, it's just really, everybody is so wildly proud of it. So,
well, as an instructor, what did you take away from the event?
You know, I think for me, you get a little bogged down when you see what some of these other programs are capable of, that we are, you know, our program meets during school hours, and the students are getting both high school credits and they're earning college credits for the coursework. But to me, it's always felt kind of extracurricular. And some of these programs that we compete against, they're career centers. These are students that are training to be chefs in culinary high school programs where they're in kitchens 30 hours a week and then training on top of that. So to reaffirm the fact that it isn't the money you have or the resources or any of that, it really is your belief and your ability to continue the process that can make anything possible. So these career center kids, yeah, they've got a step or two ahead in the race. But Carbondale's coming for you.
That's really inspiring, truly. And how do you see this experience shaping the students for their future?
That's, I think, really one of the coolest parts of all of it. Ella was always headed the culinary route. She's starting culinary school in Utah right now. But Ebony and Ananda weren't really thinking culinary. And now they sort of are. I've got another year with Ebony to kind of see where she goes. But, you know, the best takeaway from it is that they have learned not only that they can drive themselves in a really healthy way, but that they can function really well in high pressure situations, in a team dynamic, effectively communicate, start a plan, finish a plan, execute the entirety of that, that these are skills that translate to whatever they choose to do.
Even outside of the culinary world, this just really impacted them. Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. Well, what role does Youth Entity play in shaping opportunities for students that might not have them otherwise?
Oh, I think that's one of the coolest things about Youth Entity is that they continually seek out, embrace opportunities, and kind of evolve the program from there. So Youth Entity started its life as Computers for Kids, a completely different organization where they were refurbishing computers with the students learning that skill set. And now Youth Entity has, you know, not only I Am Financial Knowledge and our culinary program, but we have Vet Sciences and there's sports medicine, regular medicine. There's all of these things going. Real estate is another program they're launching, so that if there are interests in the community, Youth Entity is there to try to find a way to get that student experience, certifications, and to be job ready.
I think that's really empowering for all of these kids who don't know what they want to do yet and are about to leave high school. And I just think it's incredible what Youth Entity has to offer for these students.
Yeah, I agree. When I was in high school, I mean, none of my friends and I really knew what we were going to do. It was just that everyone was really pushed to go to college, get a degree. And, you know, that involves a ton of student debt. And it isn't anything that is really necessary to have not only a really meaningful life, but to be a high earner too. So if we can turn a student on to something that they're interested in and get them on the right track and head them into construction or culinary or medicine or any of these other programs, then that's just a benefit to the entire community.
Yeah, definitely. Well, is there anything else you'd like to share?
Every year that I've been lucky enough to get to work with a team, they're all incredibly special in their own ways. And the friendships, not only my friendships with them, but the friendships that I see them develop with each other, is just so, so beautiful. This one's gonna stay with me for a while. It's gonna be hard to top this year.
Thank you for your time. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. My pleasure. This was fun.
If you are just tuning in, you are listening to The Ripple Effect with Caden Smith, a monthly show where we have impactful conversations with individuals making waves in their communities. Today, we sat down with the culinary team from Youth Entity and their instructor to talk about their experience as a small-town team on a national stage. You just heard from Matt Mayer, the instructor of the team, who had an inspiring perspective on life skills and growth that these students have gained from being on the team. Now we will hear from the students about their perspective from the ProStart event and the lead up to it. Thank you for listening.
Hi, I'm Ananda Lavender.
I'm Ella Thornell.
I'm Ewony Mejia.
It's nice to meet you guys. It's really great to have all of you in the studio with us today. What is the Culinary Arts Academy and what do you guys do?
So in the program, we run through the ProStart culinary course and we will have labs where we cook things from the book, and then we'll have lectures as well where we learn about techniques and safety and sanitation.
Well, how did all of you become involved?
My school counselor referred it to me,
and told me that it was a really good opportunity. So that's how I first got involved.
For me, I went up to, it was at the career fair that the high schools hold, and it was 2 years ago. I went up to the youth entity booth they had there, and I just signed my name up on the sheet because it looked interesting, and I was in the program for 2 years.
For me, it's the same as Ananda. My counselor told me about it, and it sounded interesting to me.
Okay, nice. And how long have all of you been involved? I know you said 2 years, but what about you guys?
I've only been with the program for 1 year. I did try to do it my sophomore year, starting off, but I just signed up a little too late.
For me, it's 1 year also, but I'm thinking about taking it next year.
Okay, cool. Could one of you walk us through a typical day or meeting with the academy?
So we start off by putting on our chef coats, and then we set up our stations usually, unless it is a lecture. Then we get everything from our bags, a notebook and pen. But for setting up, we get our cutting board and all the utensils and equipment that we think that we will be using. And then we wait for instructions. Then we execute the dishes that they give us. And at the end of the day, we clean up.
And how long is it?
Around 2.5 hours.
Wow, okay. And what are your favorite parts about these sessions?
For me, I would say trying the food we make.
Yeah. Definitely trying the food we make, yeah. For sure.
I like trying food from different areas, cultures and stuff.
Do you guys typically do a lot of different cultural foods?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Okay.
We've made so many different types of foods.
Yeah. The chef instructor will ask, what do you guys want to learn next week? Or what do you want to do? And then we'll focus on that. But it has to, follow along with what the program is. Yeah.
Do any of you have a favorite dish? I know that's hard.
I have a few. Bruschetta, ravioli, tiramisu, and palmier.
Mm. Okay, that's cool. What about you?
I've enjoyed all the pasta dishes we've done. I don't know, it's hard because we've done so much.
Oh, for me, it would be the dish from Ratatouille. And tiramisu, too.
Okay, that's cool. I know you guys recently placed at a national competition. Could one of you share more about that?
We placed 5th place at nationals.
Yeah, the podium.
That's awesome. Did you guys think you were going to place that high?
No. Well, I didn't think we were going to place that high.
How many teams were there?
I think there was 47.
I thought there were 48.
Maybe.
Somewhere
a few states could not make it.
Yeah. But it was hard because there were a lot of good teams and good plates. So it was really hard to see or to even know where you were going to place. We thought maybe top 10.
Chef really wanted to remind us that it'd be good if we placed top 20. So.
Yeah.
Just to touch on this, you guys won state?
Yes.
Okay. And how many people were at state? How many teams do you know? Do you have an idea?
25 or so?
I think so.
We put in 600 hours. Before reaching nationals, and it was a very startling experience, but very rewarding in the end, and I am very grateful that I was given the opportunity to take it.
600 hours, wow.
Probably more.
Oh.
Where was it?
It was in Baltimore.
In Baltimore, yeah. Okay. What was the most challenging part of the event?
I think all the uncontrollable factors, like having our equipment arrive late, and then when we were on the floor, some of the things that happened there that were out of our control. And then starting our cook time late was a big thing.
But yeah, because
we pulled through.
2 months prior, we were setting up our cart, and we were told that we were given 15 minutes to set up our cart. And then when we got there on the floor, they were like, no, you can't do that. You have to do it during mise en place. Mm-hmm. So everything was rolled back 10 minutes. So we didn't even start cooking till 10 minutes in.
So just some communication issues.
Yeah.
So for the competition, we have, it's 3 courses, appetizer, entree, dessert. And you have 20 minutes to set up your stations, set out all your equipment, but you can't cut or do anything that you can't undo. And then you have another 60 minutes to cook. We were told that we would be given the 15 minutes to set up our cart before the 20 minutes and the 60 minutes. So when we got there on the floor, we had to cut into our time for both cooking and getting our equipment out.
Oh, that's stressful.
Yeah,
sorry. Was it one dish? Did you all do a separate dish?
So I was on appetizer, and you have to make 2 plates, 2 identical plates of your dish. So 2 identical appetizers, 2 identical entrees, and then 2 identical desserts. And then we had 1 person on each.
Was it based around one type of food?
Yes, it was based around Spanish.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
Do you guys want to share what you made?
I was on appetizer, and that was a seared scallop with romesco, and then a squid ink twill, frisée and blood orange salad, and a citrus beurre blanc to finish it.
So. I made a Berkshire pork cheek with a pressure cooker. I had lentils and carrot puree at the bottom. On top was a salad of sorrel and crispy shallots, and around the side was sofrito, and it had a sauce of pomegranate and Madeira.
What about you?
I made a creme caramel with salted caramel sauce and candy kumquats and a grandma yeah whipped cream.
Okay. Did any of you face any challenges, I mean, besides the lack of communication at the beginning, but just making the dishes?
Yes.
Yeah. For my dish, it was very complicated because of the temperature. So at the beginning, I struggled and I would make soup for weeks. But then after changing some things, and sometimes the recipe, it started to form more, the flan. After every week, there was like a new change. When it was close to competition in Denver, it was like the last few days and I was still making soup. But on the very last 2 days, it was perfect.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was also the elevation issue too, because in Baltimore, it's so close to
the humidity.
Yeah. So her dish was most like crucial for those.
So what is a flan?
A flan is a dessert with has eggs, heavy creams and sugar. And when I was making it, the inside wouldn't cook that well. And so when I would turn it and put it on the plate, it would like have a soupy center.
Okay. What was your biggest difficulty?
Kind of just time management, because my dish has a lot of like little elements that I have to like watch all at the same time. But probably getting the twill right so it wasn't burnt, but it was still like nice and delicate.
What is twill?
Okay, so yeah, sorry. It's like a batter that you make out of like flour, oil, and then you can add like flavors or colors to it. And then you pour it in a pan and it like kind of like fries, so it gets all these nice little holes and it looks kind of like coral.
Okay.
And then
what about you?
During the competition, my main issue was dropping half of my little cups that I put all my stuff in, and I just had to put them in the dish bin and then hope that I didn't forget something. And I did forget a few things. I also mixed up my butters and it was a large amount, so it didn't really look exactly like it was supposed to. And there was definitely a few things that I could have fixed, but I was just very scattered in the moment.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that. It was probably really stressful and not that much time. Okay, so I know you touched on like the altitude and humidity changing how you make the dish. What about, did that affect either?
It wasn't as crucial.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it didn't affect mine as much either.
No. My crispy shallots, they would get a little like moist at the humidity, so they wouldn't be exactly the same, but it wasn't crucial. It was fine.
Were you guys the only small town team at the event? No. Okay.
We were the smallest team at Nationals, I believe. We were the only team of three when everybody else had 4 or 5 people on their team. At State, I think there were a few other teams that had 3, but not many.
And what did the teams of, like, 4 or 5 look like? Were there multiple people working on different elements?
Yes.
Okay.
So there's 4 people that is inside working on the 3 dishes, and there's a timekeeper that stands outside and tells people what their next moves need to be, and we didn't have that. We had to stick on a certain schedule and just keep ourselves accountable. And even the chefs wish that we talked more, but we were so centered in on our dishes, we didn't need to.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we knew what, like, we needed to do, and then we kind of knew what each other needed to do.
And did all the teams make Spanish dishes, or?
So, in the beginning of the process for the competition, you start menu developing, and then you can, like, kind of, like, pick a theme, which is what we did. We went with the Spanish culture. So every team can choose whatever they want.
Yeah, we all just started thinking about things that we personally like and then how they can be connected to each other. Yeah.
What's next for all of you after this competition?
Actually, next week I leave for culinary school.
Yeah, so I'm working as a line cook right now at Aspen Glen. And over the winter, I'm going to be a ski instructor. And then I'm planning on next year going to a culinary school of my picking. I'm not sure which yet, but we did get some scholarships from winning the competition. So that might be one of the go-tos.
Okay, that's yeah. Awesome.
I think I'm going to keep learning more things in the academy. And I might just go to a college after high school.
You just heard the first episode of The Ripple Effect with Caden Smith, a monthly show where we have impactful conversations with individuals making waves in their communities. Today, we sat down with the culinary team and their instructor from Youth Entity, who spoke about their time at the National Pro Start event, perspectives on life skills they have gained from the program, and their experience as a small-town team on a national level stage. For more information about ProStart, you can visit youthentity.org, directly contact individuals from the organization, or speak with your school counselors. If you like what you heard today, tune in on the first Wednesday of each month from 4 to 4:30 to hear The Ripple Effect. Thanks for listening.